Good morning. I've titled my sermon this morning, Put On Your Brave. And I just thought I'd begin by sharing with you all how I've come to talk about what I'm going to talk about this morning. And I've really been praying for a word from God, because after I've said yes that I would do this, it's just so overwhelming really to know what to speak about. And I feel really unequipped up to be here. I never expected God would call me to do this, and I really do feel honoured and humbled that he wants to use me. But I'm really conscious as well that I don't want this to be about myself and it be really my words. I want it to be what God confirmed he wanted me to talk about. So the sermon really wasn't coming together that well, really. My mum kept asking me, what are you going to be preaching about? And I said, I still don't know. And it was getting closer and closer. So I carved out time for me and God alone time. And I was going to go upstairs and I was going to pray to God, which I did do. And then I just thought, I'm going to open my Bible and I'm just going to really pray that he confirms what it is, or he gives me some kind of sign. I was intending to kind of watch a sermon on my phone. But it was kind of peculiar what happened. I ended up, I had this time with God and I prayed that he would speak to me. And I found myself after doing that, picking up this book that I bought months ago off Amazon. It was called The Power of Not Yet, and Living a Life of Endless Possibilities. And it was kind of the title that drew me. But to be honest, I was 3/4 of the way through it months ago, and I'd put it down with no intentions ever to pick it up again, because it kind of hadn't been what I'd thought. To be really honest, it was a little bit boring. And it just wasn't speaking to me. And I was doing, I don't know if any of you do it, but you're like, I was skim reading like big paragraphs of it, and it just wasn't really speaking to me. But as many of you know, like, the title drew me because I could relate this to be my life and how I used to feel stuck and how I just didn't want to be in the season that I found myself in. I wanted the next chapter. I was trying to hurry God up. I felt like my life was just stuck on pause. And it was kind of talking about how there's just great power in the not yet season, and how it's not actually diminishing you, but it's actually building you and preparing you. And perhaps maybe because I didn't feel stuck anymore, that maybe this, like, this first part of the book wasn't speaking to me. But I ended up picking, like I said, the book back up and reading the last quarter of it, and it was absolutely amazing, the ending. And it was all about being brave, having faith over fear, stepping out in obedience, being bold and courageous to stand up for the truth and fight for the good of others, because that God wants us to become who he always intended us to be, and that he has beautiful plans for all of our lives, and he had those plans before we were even born. And that God has put us in a position, if he has put us in a position, to not devalue your current position, because God's placed you there on purpose, because perhaps you were made for such a time as this. Esther 4:4, and it was clear and so crystal clear that God wanted me to speak this morning on Esther. God really does have plans for us all, and he created us on purpose, for a purpose, and we each have a unique job to do, and he's given us all unique gifts and talents. Some gifts and talents, it's unique gifts and talents that we won't have the same gifts and talents as the person that sat next to you. We are all unique. And he's positioned us all in different places, and who you can reach, I can't reach. And it's just amazing how that God does put us in these places. Like, I can't reach your co-workers, I can't reach your family and your community, but we've each got a role. And I just want to encourage us all this morning to don't devalue your current position, because God's placed you there on purpose. And I just kept really getting this word from God, when the word was specific about his timing is specific, and that he's specifically chosen you and he's specifically chosen me, and he's got specific work for us all to do. And since no longer God lives on the earth, that we are his hands and feet while we're here. And it's no coincidence that we're here alive today, and I believe we were created for such a time as this. Yesterday, when I got in from work, my grandma had the God Channel on TBN, And it said, we're living in a generation that is the most blessed, yet we are the most broken. And it's so true, isn't it? And it needs what you have, and it needs who God created you to be. It is really, really, it just blows my mind that God created galaxies and the universe, the sun and the stars, and he looked at you and me, and he decided he needed one of us too. So back to Esther, if you'd like to turn to your Bibles on Esther, you can. And I do really pray that this morning that our hearts would be open to receive God's message and believe he wants to talk to each and every one of us personally through this story. And I just really do pray that we'd be built up and encouraged. Now, like I said, for the last week, I've been really studying Esther. I didn't know it in depth, and I absolutely love this story. It's a beautiful story. It's a romantic story. It reads like a novel or a movie plot. And we see a beautiful yet humble woman. She's raised by her uncle, Mordecai. And she saves a generation through her bravery. I love the story in the Bible because it so beautifully illustrates how God can use anyone for his plans, and we can fight our fears and bring glory to God. This story has intrigue, it has suspense, it has gratitude, and it has bravery. And I'm sure a lot of you already know it, but I'm just going to recap. And like all hero journeys, it has a baddie and it has a villain in it, and his name is Haman. And he plots to kill and annihilate all the Jewish race in Persia. Now, this was really on a massive scale. King Xerxes is he's the king of the Persian Empire, and this went from India in the east all the way to Egypt in the west. And this was kind of on a scale similar to like Hitler and the Nazis. He wanted to annihilate them all. And he called for like a government issued genocide. So this was like on a really, really massive scale. I'm just going to quickly recap. In Esther's life, we see a young orphan girl raised by her uncle in Persia, and her uncle is named Mordecai. And it's really important to note that Mordecai is a Jew, and because he adopts Esther, she's also Jewish, he brings her up. And they decide that they would keep their heritage a secret, and that it was best not to tell anyone this. Mordecai felt compelled to enter Esther into the running of a beauty pageant to win the king's heart. And immediately upon seeing Esther, King Xerxes fell in love with her. It sounds like an epic fairy tale. Esther became King Xerxes' wife and put on center stage for all of Persia to watch. But Esther's obscure Jewish upbringing hadn't prepared her to be leading lady of Persia. But her inner beauty and strength opened a door that would forever change history. She was the least likely to win the king's heart, yet God positioned her heart for this moment, and it was clearly a setup for future circumstance. You know, the Lord, he really does love an underdog, and she was an orphan and now positioned as queen. And I just really feel compelled to tell someone this morning that it's not where you start, it's where you finish. And it's not where you are now, it's where you're going. That's right. Not too long into Esther's reign, a national decree for a genocide of epic proportions to annihilate all the Jewish race in Persia was announced. See, Haman the villain, he had a grudge towards Esther's uncle Mordecai, as he refused to bow down to him. And when he found out more about Mordecai and that he was a Jew, he then wanted and decided to annihilate all of Mordecai's people, all of the Jews. I'm just going to read out chapter 3, verse 8. Then Haman said to King Xerxes, there is a certain people dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom who keep themselves separate. Their customs are different from those of all other people, and they do not obey the king's laws. It is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them, and I will give 10,000 talents of silver to the king's administrators for the royal treasury. It was a hopeless moment for God's people and the majority of the population. They had no voice or platform to protest this travesty. But as always, God had a plan. Yes. And that didn't require the voice of the majority. Just one obscure voice he'd handpicked from before time and the least likely one. And she was not a likely candidate. An orphan who was positioned in a palace for this moment, Queen Esther, he picked her. Whether you realise it or not, God has handpicked you for a very unique and specific role in history, just like he did Esther. You know, Esther is one of the only books in the Bible named after a woman, the other one being Ruth. And in the book of Esther, it doesn't mention God's name even once. And yet this story has God, the hand of God is seen right the way through all over it. It's a profound story of turnaround and redemption, and that God has already determined and set up for this woman. An epic tale of choosing brave. We all have a choice. Our thoughts and our beliefs and our words we speak are a compass that sets the direction of our life. It would be a shame for God to want to do more and for us to just to settle for less. What Esther didn't realise, and you may not realise either, that is God has already written the turnaround in your story and he is already in your future. And it is your yes response that sets up the turnaround. Even when your yes is a scared one, you'll discover that God is ahead of you, having turned the tables in your favour. Perhaps this is the moment for which you have been created. Esther 4:14. There's so many spiritual lessons in the book of Esther, and we do really see God's favour and protection to his people, the Jews, and we see how Esther had God's favour, and in Greek, favour can be translated to the word grace. I found it last week really fascinating how on our service we chose, I'd already chosen to speak about Esther last week, but we were talking about Ezra and the work that they do for the Jewish people, and I just thought it was amazing how we happened to be talking about that, and I knew that this week I was going to be talking about Esther. And I don't know if many of you were here last week, but we watched this beautiful video, Ron put it on twice, and it was about how we are all God's people, and we're his sons and we're his daughters, like we are his family, and he is faithful to his people, he protects his people, he favours his people, and we belong to him, and he's a really good father. And we when we remind ourselves of that, of who we are and our identity, it personally just gives me so much peace, knowing that I'm his and that I have his protection and favour, and it just really helps me walk in confidence, and I really hope that it would do you too. God wants us to choose faith over fear, and our God really is faithful, and we do have his protection. And surrendering to his will and being obedient always leads to his best and the best outcome. And it is so evident in the book of Esther for us to see that. You have to take brave. Esther had a choice to make, and so do we. She had the opportunity to speak up and save her people, because only she had access to the king. This came with a risk, but she had this opportunity, and God picked her. And if we don't sometimes take God opportunities, God will use somebody else. Esther was entrusted with much and poised to make a turnaround. She was an everyday person like you and me who encountered a choice that would set the trajectory of her life and change history. She rose above her circumstances in the middle of a story. She chose to put her life on the line despite knowing the outcome. I just want to really encourage us this morning that we only see part of the story when God sees the full story. And don't give up just because you're in the middle of your story. God has more. He's got more for each and every one of us. And you may this morning, you may have come across resistance and hardship, but I just want to encourage you to not give up and not throw in the towel. Esther seemed beyond her limitations to fulfill God's incredible purpose through her. And if only we could just see what God sees and what's ahead of us and see his heavenly perspective. I was listening to a sermon on resistance and I really felt compelled to share it. I didn't really know if it went, but I'm going to share it anyways. And as Christians, If we're not facing resistance, it could be an inclination, perhaps, that we're going in the same direction as our enemy. However, if we are facing resistance, I believe it's more an inclination and confirmation that we are right exactly where God wants us to be. Resistance doesn't mean that God's left us or that he's not near. So don't throw in the towel when it gets tough. When you're in the middle of your story, in the middle of the battle, fight, keep going, persevere, be brave. God tells us in Scripture many, many times to be courageous. And as many of you know, when we become Christians, we enter into this spiritual battle. So there's going to be resistance. I'm just quickly going to put Esther down for a moment. And I'm going to tell you about something that I saw on social media. And it was a clip about some turtles. And this was in America. It was not in Cumbria, and unfortunately. And these turtles, they were hatching on the beach, at the top of the beach. And there's all these people filming it and watching it. And these turtles are absolutely beautiful. They're tiny and they're cute, and there's people cooing over them. And I completely would want to be, I would be one of those people, because I'm just animal crazy. And they just start really slowly. They're hatching, they're making their way on this journey across the sand, making their way to the ocean. Now, it takes turtles, it says this fact in the clip, 48 to 72 hours from hatching to make this journey over the sand to the ocean. So this is pretty slow. They seem like they're struggling, and they're going super, super slow. And there's these people in the clip. The first reaction, like I think all of our reaction would be, is they want to touch the turtles, they want to pick them up, and they want to help them. They want to carry them to the water. And there's this guy on the clip, he's in charge and he's overseeing it all. And he says, no, no, no. He's like, don't touch the turtles. Don't help the turtles. Don't carry the turtles. And they're all like, okay, well, that's fine. But why? Why is this? And the turtles, he tells us this really important fact. He says, the turtles need as much oxygen as possible to get into their lungs, to develop them and prepare them for the swim ahead. The walk through the sand was vital. You know, God has called us all to blue, deep, wide open oceans, but don't discount the sand. It may be a struggle, you may feel like you're sinking, it may be taking longer than you anticipated. I mean, how hard is it to walk through sand? But the sand serves a purpose in order for us to get stronger and to grow, and it's building us and it's preparing us and it's developing us, and it is just vital for us to become all that God intended us to become. The only way these turtles were going to have the strength to swim is if they endured the sand. What if I told you this morning that your trouble is actually training you? Your trial is preparing you, and you serve a good father, and he's saying you need faith and perseverance, and you're going to need faith over fear. But one of the ways I will shape your faith is by disciplining you and preparing you with challenges. The ocean is what we're called to, but the sand has a purpose. What I love about Esther is when Mordecai sends a messenger to tell her of Haman's plot, we can just look at her reply in 4:15. Esther 4:15. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days or days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. I just love this, and I think we can all apply this, that prayer should never be our last resort. It should always be our first response. She said, if I perish, I perish. She's risking her life on the line, and she's stepping out and acting in faith. She's being brave, and she's picking right over easy. And we might not this morning not be facing a life and death decision, but just look at her strength. Look at her character. Look at her integrity. She has virtue. Let's all be more like Esther. Often before our biggest breakthrough, we face our biggest battle. But I just love a happy ending. Esther didn't lose her life. We're told when she made her request known to the king, and when she revealed her identity and that she was Jewish, and she asked him to spare her people, we find out in the Bible that she was rewarded and gained Haman's estate. And I just love a turnaround because, as well in the story, we're told that Haman previously had built a gallows to hang Mordecai, but it was that very same gallows that he was hanged on. God always has the last say. He's in control. Haman's hatred was strong, but God's favour was stronger. God has already written brave and victory into the narrative of your story. Now, the Bible tells us King Xerxes says to Esther and Mordecai, Now write another decree in the king's name in behalf of the Jews as seems best to you, and seal it with the king's signet ring, for no document written in the king's name and sealed with his ring can be revoked. This gave the Jews the right to defend themselves and assemble armed response if they were attacked. There were assassins all over the empire ready to kill the Jews. Such a danger, if this new edict hadn't happened, there would be no Jewish people left. And if the original edict had stayed, Jesus could never have been born. So Esther really did save the day. And it's no wonder, even to this day, every year, the Jews celebrate the Feast of Purim in memory of these days. We are never placed in a situation where God hasn't already offered us the courage and brave that we need to succeed. Corrie ten Boom, her and her family, they helped rescue many Jews in the Holocaust in Nazi Germany. And her and her sister, they suffered horrific things in that concentration camp. And this is what Corrie ten Boom said. She said, "Never ever be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Nelson Mandela, he helped bring end to apartheid. He said, "Courage isn't the absence of fear, it is the triumph over it." These were everyday people like you and me. They didn't have a special DNA, special brave DNA strand in them. They're just like you and me. It didn't make it any easier for them than it does for us. But what generated brave was the choice. We all have a calling, a purpose, here for a reason, and more than just for ourselves. So I've quickly wrote these lessons on the board. Lesson one, God has a plan for our lives. Mordecai nailed it when he said, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, you've come to the royal palace for such a time as this." God loved the Jewish people and he didn't create Esther's beauty and finesse for her and her alone. Esther was placed in a royal position to assist in the delivery of God's divine plan. Lesson two, we are given divine moments to alter circumstances. I really, really love this. As believers, there is no such thing as accidents and coincidences, and I really, really believe that. God's timing is providential. Esther's divine moment of providence came by accepting responsibility to go to the king. Mordecai was clear when he said to Esther that she could be the one who saved the people or not, but God will only use you if you're ready, or if not, you will find someone else. We must stand with courage. "I will go to the king even though it's against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Esther was willing to die to save her people. We sometimes must stand in courage even when it's not popular to do so and risk it all. Lesson four, fasting and prayer brings clarity and hope for deliverance. God is not mentioned in the book of Esther once, but Esther was clear that in this particular situation, a heavenly response was needed for an earthly situation. Esther needed direction. And when we need God's grace, fasting and prayer opens the portals for spiritual growth, removes distractions, and places us on a path of humility. Lesson five, God demands obedience. Esther's obedience saved God's people from genocide. The reality is she didn't know what would happen when she approached the king. She acted in obedience, and by doing so she saves the nation and she receives the best. Lesson 6. God uses everything and everybody for his divine purpose. No part of our lives is untouched. God is in control in every aspect, whether we want him to be or not, and there is nothing that is not subject to him, Hebrews 2:8. And the best thing we can do for our lives is to search for and surrender to his will. I just want to touch on this because I can relate to this personally, that I can say from the bottom of my heart, one of the best things that we can do for our lives is to truly surrender to his will and say, your will is my will. But it's also one of the hardest things that you'll ever do. And for me personally, I don't know if anyone can relate, but some things are easier to surrender to him than others. And for me, it was my relationships, and I wanted to be in control of my relationships and who I chose and who I picked. And this was the last thing that I surrendered to him, and it was the hardest thing. But God wants us to surrender everything because he wants the best for us. And I don't know where you are in your journey, if you're at the beginning. And like me, when I came on this journey, what I wanted and what God wanted was different. It didn't match. But I just want to encourage you just to keep surrendering, to keep going. It's not just like that. And if you just keep turning the page and you just keep going, that, and I can vouch this to be true one day, I believe if God can do this for me, he can do this for you, that you will just want what God wants for you and nothing less. Like, I only want God's plans, not my own, because his are better and his dreams are my dreams. And you will look back on yourself, because I look back on myself in these 3 years, and I don't even recognise myself. I don't recognise the old me. I can't believe that I wanted to be married so much. I mean, there's beautiful things about being single. Being single is awesome. I can't believe I'm really saying that, but my focus is not on that anymore. I just know that I've got work to do, and he's got me in this season for a reason, and I'm just so content, and it's just a transformation. If you keep surrendering everything, there's the transformation. It's just the best. And it says in 1 Corinthians, and I love this, because he's got so many beautiful plans for us all. He says, what no eye has seen, and what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. And we should be excited this morning. I'm just so expectant, and I'm so excited, because it's going to be a surprise to me. I don't know what God's going to do, and he's got surprises in store for you, the very best ones. And I'm just so excited to see what he's going to do. And he's got custom-made beautiful plans, like I say, for all of us. And I think it's time for us to wake up and show the world who God created us to be, because within us there lies a piece, a part, a role, a voice, and a design that we all need. And who knows, but we've come to our role position for such a time as this. Amen. I really do believe that the best is yet to come. I'm just going to leave that on the board.
Thanks, Charlotte. That was great.